every day on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Well, have a look at letters to the editor today in the Cairns Post. And this one under the heading on Cyclone Jasper's arrival in the far north. Pat Zalewski, not impressed. If we followed the literal directions of council, all those in the red zones would be evacuated because of the texts telling us to evacuate. That means most of Cairns and the northern beaches would have to go somewhere else. The traffic jam would be horrendous. The texts that came after the initial one were somewhat more subdued. My suggestion is that if you're going to evacuate red zones, do it suburb by suburb and have a place to go worked out that is best for that area and let people know. That initial text was knee-jerk reactionism at its worst and played on people's worst fears. If council had plans for this, then they should have communicated better. Whoever sent that initial text out should be reprimanded. If it was artificial intelligence driven, then council should look at their programming, writes Pat Zalewski. Here's another one. Karina Langton writes this. Then they shut the shelters by 4 p.m. and some 6 p.m. accepting no more people. How ridiculous is that considering some people were still at work? And if you rely on public transport to get to a shelter, they stopped running at 5 p.m. Tuesday. She went on to say this. Oh, and then councillors telling people that the power would be turned off by Ergon at 5 p.m. after the mayor got on the radio and announced it after talking to Ergon in Brisbane instead of Ergon Regional. That one from Karina Langton. Look, there's various others on this particular matter too. We'll move on to talk about that and other matters about survival of the last 24 hours or so. That little mention there was of the northern beaches. I didn't realise, but then again they talked, well, someone talked about a total of 35,000 people having to be evacuated from Cairns, so I suppose that did include northern beaches. All very confusing. Anyway, talking about the northern beaches, I've got Division 9's Councillor Brett Olds on the line. G'day, Brett.
The fear porn, the alarmism. It was in full. It was in full flight.
Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah. What was going on? Because there was a lot of confusion abroad. I mean, admittedly, if it was in a message from Brisbane Ergon that conflicted with the message from local Ergon, that was a bad way to start the whole proceeding. What have you got on that? The first announcement came from Terry James on air saying, "Oh yes, Ergon have said they're going to close down power to all of those, for example, inner city areas, the suburbs north of the inner city." I didn't hear the northern beaches mentioned. Were the northern beaches mentioned as well?
No, I don't think so. See, I was actually in a car. I was driving. I started my holidays. They cancelled work on us. I wasn't supposed to leave till 4 o'clock this afternoon, but they cancelled my wife's work, cancelled our work because everyone was just full of alarmism. I said to Sarah, the kids are on holiday. Let's start our trip. So we took off on Tuesday lunchtime, so we missed it all. I'm down here in Narrawolly on the south coast, New South Wales, just north of Batemans Bay at the moment. It's beautiful and sunny. Mm. My kids were spewing, though. They wanted to sit through the cyclone. I'm like, they love it when these big rain depressions come. And so they wanted to stay. And alarmism shouldn't be a word that North Queensland's ever need to use. And when Terry should know better. I mean, we always complain about Brisbane making decisions for us. Why would you call Brisbane to get advice for what's gone up? Call your local Ergon guy. And I saw some other councils. I didn't buy into any of it. I'm like, guys, we just need to relax. You don't be complacent. But, you know, things like what just happened over the last 2 days or the last 6 days, we've been hearing about this cyclone for a week. This is what causes complacency because it's like the boy that cried wolf. Mm. So now you've got the old North Queenslanders. You ask anyone who's lived here for more than 5 minutes. People, I've been here for 34 years. I've got mates who have been here 50 years. If you've been here for 20 years, you've been through a few of these. The building codes that our buildings are built to are way more stringent than down in Brisbane and Sydney or Florida. I used to build homes in Florida too. Let me tell you, they've just got some duct tape and a couple of nails holding all the roof trusses on. That's why when a hurricane hits them, they get smashed. Mm. In Cairns, in North Queensland, I think when Yazzie hit and totally wiped out Carbore, only one person died, and that was a person that locked themselves in a room with the window shut with a generator, which is really terrible. But our buildings can handle it, guys. You don't have to panic. Fill your eskies up with some water because you might be without power and water for a few days. Check on your neighbours. That's the first thing. But don't get complacent. Put your outdoor furniture in your pool or bring it inside so it doesn't become a projectile. Mm. But all the text that came out and the words they use, evacuate immediately.
Yeah.
If people listen, and luckily most people didn't listen to it. They're like, oh, this is ridiculous. They didn't. If they had that Pat person in the paper today, it would have been 100% correct. All those cars on the road, people in an alarmed state would then get frustrated because of all the roadblocks. There'd be all sudden anger, there'd be road rage. This does not help when you're trying to keep people calm. When I come back to council, I will be talking to my colleagues about not what can we do better, because you have to have a debrief, but guys, why the hell did this happen in the first place? We've all been here. Terry's a fifth generation local. He's been through more cyclones than anyone I know. I was really disappointed with what I saw on Facebook and everything else. And I've seen photos today. A few mates, they said, you know, we will rebuild, because one of their chairs fell over. And I said, I'm surprised you were there to watch your chair fall over, mate. Because, you know, you sort of listen to the evacuation and push grannies out the way and scream like a madman, sell your kids, head for the hills. Not one text or message that I saw, or email, anything came out, told people to make sure your fridge was stocked with some beer and wine, because you might have a few days. And all your neighbours, this is a really good time of year to get with your neighbours. I checked on my neighbour before I left, because he's from Victoria.
Yeah.
And him and his son and his wife, they hadn't been through one. They're like, I have another mate who's only been here a couple of years. And I checked on them before I left and said, you guys are right. But one of the best pieces of advice is, let's make sure your fridge is stocked, guys, because you're going to have a few days probably without work. And that's what happens. Everyone has their cyclone parties. So they were okay. They didn't need to put anything away. They're on top of it. But that's all you need to do, guys. Calm the farm. Don't panic. And the Disaster Management Centre, sending out those alarmist things, I will be having a chat. I don't get back till New Year's Eve now, but I wasn't happy seeing all that, because it makes us all look like fools. Yeah. And again, next time, people will be like, oh, they said this last time, that boy who cried wolf, and then it'll be a Cyclone Tracy or, you know, where everyone's caught off guard, and that's when you're going to see real devastation, because people haven't been using common sense. It got thrown out the window. I think there was a text that went out that said, forget your common sense, you're just going nuts. I was pulling my hair out, because I couldn't say anything publicly that was in contrast to that, because I don't want to say mixed message, that's even worse. But I just thought, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to bide my time, and when it's over and it turns out to be a huge flooding event, because we get a lot of water, as you know, then we can go and pick it apart. But I will be, I've got some bones to pick with a few people, because I don't think that was very professional in any way, shape or form.
Here we go with the evacuation thing yet again. Cairns Mayor Terry James says, teething issues with a new disaster management system caused Jasper warning messages to sound more urgent than necessary. The figure that went around was, we're evacuating 35,000 people. It's like an army. But here's a suggestion in letters to the editor. My suggestion is that if you're going to evacuate red zones, do it suburb by suburb, have a place to go worked out best for that area, and let people know. The initial text was knee-jerk reactionism at its worst and played on people's worst fears. If council had plans for this, then they should have communicated better. Whoever sent that initial text out should be reprimanded. If it was AI-driven, then council should look at their programming. Could it have involved artificial intelligence? Do you know anything about this?
I don't know if it's artificial intelligence, but even if it was, there's someone at the top of there that's a human being that made that decision to send it out. Now, I will give some credit. Like, back when Yazi came, and I was actually in the States, so I got here a couple months after it, but what happened as working in the council now, it was total chaos, because the police weren't talking to the SES, the SES weren't talking to council, no one was talking to each other, and there were literally SES out door knocking in Lake Placid area and telling one message, and then 2 hours later, there was police out there saying a different message to the residents, door knocking. So we've come a long way since that, because the local disaster management centre is a really good concept. Everyone's in there, the leader's ahead of everything, and it's all coordinated now. But at the end of the day, there is a human being there that will be in charge of sending that message, and they should have read it before they sent it, and they should have said, what kind of message is this going to send, especially to someone that's just moved here a year ago, 6 months ago? Could this create more panic? And that's a bad thing. Having panicked people out there, they make irrational decisions when it happens. So who's proofreading this? Who pressed the button? You can't blame AI. Someone does need to be reprimanded. Not saying they have to be fired, but they need to be brought in and you know, have some skin tore off them and said this doesn't happen again. When we send out a message, it's going to be clear. It's going to be calm. Because even if I said to my kids all the time, when's a good time to panic? And when one of my kids was only six, he said, when a shark's biting you. And I said, that's probably the best time not to panic, buddy. Poke it in your eye, you've got to keep your wits about you. But they've always got an answer, my kids. But I said, it's never a good time to panic. And that should be at the forefront of everything. Even if a cyclone's coming, even if a tsunami's coming, okay, panic people on the roads and panic people out there making decisions, they're irrational. My brother-in-law, he works at AMSA down here when they go look for people. And he goes, it's always guesswork, because we think logic and common sense says this boat tipped over here, the tide's gone that way, these people should swim to this island. But he goes, they never do, because when they're making panic decisions, they'll do stuff that you could never even imagine. How'd they come up with that? So we as leaders should not be sending out panic messages and getting people in that kind of state, because I just think it's really disappointing. Calm, collected messaging with common sense outcomes. And the biggest thing I learned, being in the SES as well, after Cyclone Debbie, was a lot of people in this day and age don't know their neighbours. And there was a guy, literally an old guy, a palm tree fell in front of his tree, in front of his house, and he couldn't get out the back door either. He lived on red wine and almost killed himself because he had no food. He was in a wheelchair for 3 days before some ladies from the SES were doing health checks, and there was people in the house next to him on both sides that never even checked on him once.
Yeah,
so this is the most important thing, guys. Even when it's not cyclone season, get to know your neighbours. They'll take care of your property for you when you're away too. Make sure no one's hanging around stealing stuff. So that, get personal, get calm, and I was really disappointed over the last couple of days. And we're at the start of cyclone season, so hopefully lessons can be learnt. The coordination's good, but that message, there was a human being that was in charge of sending that.
Well, here's another one. This is possibly the worst in some people's minds, because a hell of a lot of people rushed home because they heard the power was going to be cut off to preserve the network in their suburb. Here it is. This is from Karina Langton. Oh, and then councillors telling people that the power would be turned off by Ergon at 5 p.m. Tuesday, after the mayor got on the radio and announced it, after talking to Ergon in Brisbane instead of Ergon Regional. But why would Ergon Brisbane have this whole activity organised or planned or ready to disseminate, and Ergon Regional perhaps have never heard of it, not been involved in the planning? How the hell could that happen?
It makes no sense to me, because, like I said, we've been through cyclones. The people in these disaster centres, they've been through cyclones, and Terry's the chair. He's been fifth generation local. I just don't understand why he picked up the phone and called someone in Brisbane. Call your local guy and find out what they've been told, because that person in Brisbane is probably eating some chips, doing some research on the upcoming test match between Pakistan, and read about Mitchell Johnson, David Warner. Then all of a sudden he's answering the phone to the mayor saying, oh, yeah, we're going to shut your power off at 5 o'clock. What would he know in that desk in Brisbane? Call your local guy. Your local guy knows what's going on locally, and if they don't, then they're not doing their job. So I don't know. I don't know why people are calling up Brisbane to find out what's going on in Cairns, because that's always our biggest complaint from residents and from councillors. People down there, they're not 1,800 kilometres away. They're another world away.
Yeah.
And they can't make rational decisions for us up here. So I don't know. I don't know what prompted that person to call up. Like I said, I was on the road coming down here. Someone said, oh, you panicked and went. I said, well, I got the text that said, you know, sell your children, knock over grannies and get the hell out of town. So that's what I did. But that's not what I did. I had the opportunity to start my holiday early, and so we did it. But I kind of wish I was up there right now, because I'd be shaking a few people and just slapping them around, saying, guys, like, you did a poor job here. We can do better.
You enjoy the South Coast down there in New South Wales. Good on you, Brett. Thank you.
Have a Merry Christmas. I don't talk to you beforehand.
Good on you. Same to you, Brett. That's Brett Olds, and thank you for all your contributions over the year. Brett Olds, the Division 9 Cairns councillor.